Blog Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network.
Station.
Shalom, shalom. What's going on, man? We back for another one, another Sabbath. You already know each and every week is going down on the Poetic Energy Network station. Man, I hope you're having a lovely Sabbath. I hope you're having a lovely... It's the new year of Yahuwah, man. You got to get excited, man. There's just so much joy going around. It's just so much excitement about what Yahuwah is doing and what he's getting ready to do. And we are excited to finally be, you know, another Sabbath, another chance to really get back into the Word. And we are excited to see what's going to go down today. But, man, I'm trying to tell you that the adversary has really been going even today to stop to get this word out. The adversary has been hard at work trying to stop and get this word out today, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We're still going to get it out because, man, we got to go to the throne because this is something, some things I didn't know about that the Ruach is bringing back to remembrance, the truth about what happened, about how they took the name, about this. I mean, this is amazing information, man. And we're going to have a special guest come on later, man, and share some things, man. But it's going down. Let's pray and get into it right now. Father Yahuwah, Yahushua Mashiach, name, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you. We pray that you would decrease us and move us out of the way, that the Ruach HaKodesh would speak. Thus saith Yahuwah, Father, that we would just understand what's going on, what has happened, and the Ruach would bring to remembrance all truth and lead us into all truth. And we be able to understand what's going on. Father, please forgive us for our sins. Help us to walk correctly according to your Torah, according to your word. Yahushua Mashiach, name we pray. So be it. Amen. Woo! Man, I'm excited, man. I don't know if you feel the excitement, man, but I'm excited today about this. You know, we're going to get into some current events, and we're going to get into, you know, next week we're going to have a study. You know, we're talking about the Pesach and everything. But this lesson right here, we're talking about the name of Yahuwah, and we're talking about the name of Jesus Christ, and that what happened? What is the story? Because I always, you know, we knew the story, you know, we know they took the name out, and we know all these things, but we don't really know, you know, I didn't really know the logistics of how it unfolded. But man, this is really, if you got your pens and you got your paper, you really need to grab it because this is going to be very very, very, very interesting. Now, how are we going to start? It's different to start. Let's see how we're going to start this. Okay. Now, we got to do a synopsis of what happened and, you know, how things unfolded. Okay. Now, we're traveling right now in a time capsule, okay? Let's go back to ancient Babylon, okay? Now, what happened is a long time ago, Yirmiyahu the prophet, Jeremiah, you got your scriptures, we're going to be flipping too. Yirmiyahu the prophet, he prophesied in Jeremiah 25, He prophesied in Jeremiah 25 and 29. You can actually read the 29 too. And I'm gonna skip through, so you gotta quickly. He says 29 verse 10, and thus saith Yahuwah, when the 7 years are complete at Babel, I shall visit you and establish my good word toward you and bring you back to this place. So what happened is our forefathers, they didn't keep the commandments, and Yahuwah told them that he would bring them into Babylon, and the time period would be 70 years in which they would be in Babylon, and they would serve the king of Babylon. So that was the prophecy of Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, and his other verses where it talks about that, you know what I'm saying? And he was, if you read Yirmiyahu 25 and, well, let's see, 25 and like, it's, I think it's about around verse 9, it talks about, look, it says, "See, I am sending and taking all the tribes of the north, says, declares Yahuwah, and the Nebuchadnezzar, the sovereign of Babel, my servant, shall bring against them the land and all its inhabitants and against all the nations, and they shall be put under the ban." Okay? So it talks about this. And then verse 12, if you go down to Jeremiah 25, verse 12, and it shall be, "When the 70 years are completed, that I shall punish the sovereign of Babel and that nation in the land of, you know, Kashtar for their crookedness, declares Yahuwah, and shall make it everlasting ruins." So what happened is we disobeyed him. So he said, you know, so Yirmiyahu the prophet says, hey, they going to Babylon for 70 years. Now, this 70 years started around 605 B.C. So what you got to remember, the temperature back then was, number one, we started to go into Babylon because why? We, you know, his people began to, they wouldn't turn back from their evil. Right here he said, "Turn back now everyone from his evil way and his evil deed." So the Yahudim, the 12 tribes of Yisrael, was in wickedness, and they wouldn't turn back from their wickedness. So the consequence was, hey, y'all going into captivity. 70 years, Yirmiyahu prophesied against that. I mean, prophesied about that. 605 B.C., around that time, Nebuchadnezzar takes Babylon, takes the Yahudim, and began to take them into Babylon, right? Comes and destroys Jerusalem and all that stuff. You know, some of us know this, and then some of us, you know, don't. Okay. So, because we got to give a synopsis. Now, a part of the members that went into Babylon was Daniel. You heard of Daniel. And his three friends. Daniel and his three friends were some of the people who went into Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar from Jerusalem, you know, part of the 12 tribes. They went into Babylon and had to, and Daniel understood that prophecy about Jeremiah. Let's go, matter of fact, let's go there. Go to Daniel. You got the scriptures, go to Daniel. Because it's going to be informative. I'm telling you, man, we're going to be able to really tell people, hey, we're going to show them from the people from the scriptures, hey, the name of JC is erroneous. Like, it is created. It is. And we're gonna point to the culprits. We're gonna show you who the culprits are behind it. Yahusha already knew this when he was walking the earth. How they was taking his name out already. They was taking his name out already before we gonna get to that. I'm hyped. I'm sorry. I'm hyped. Go to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1 verse 1, right here. It says, "In the third year of the reign of Yehoiakim." It says, "Sovereign of Yehuda, Nebuchadnezzar, sovereign of Babel, came to Jerusalem and besieged it." See right there, that's Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah's prophecy coming to pass, right there. His prophecy coming to pass about them spending 70 years in Babylon. Why? Because they had the, you know, 12 tribes of Israel, Yisrael, they were committing wickedness. They wouldn't listen to what, you know, Yehuda, they wouldn't listen to the servants, the prophets. So he said, hey, the consequence of this, y'all going to Babylon. It says, "And Yahuwah gave Yehoiakim, sovereign of Yehuda, into his hands, with some of the utensils of the house of Elohim," it says, "which brought into the land of Shunem, to the house of his mighty one, and brought the utensils into the treasures of the house of his mighty one." Okay, now, go down to verse 6. So what happens is Nebuchadnezzar comes in, besieges Jerusalem, and then he began to take some of the Yahudim back to captivity, back to Babylon, you know, over the process. And one of those people was, we were just talking about, Daniel. So this book of Daniel is an account, too, of what happened in Babylon. So notice this right here, verse 6, and it says, "Among them were the sons of Yehuda, Daniel, Hananiahu, Mishael, and Azariah. Okay, now, this is where it starts to get tricky. I did some research now. What you have to find out is, okay, when they went to Babylon, what was going on in Babylon? The land of Babylon was filled with wickedness. It was the Chaldeans. The Chaldean language around that time was something like a Aramaic, okay? That was going on in the Chaldean, around the area. I mean, they had all kind of different wickedness, mighty ones. Wood and stone, we ain't gonna get into that. We ain't gonna get into what they were serving, the people around there were serving. But they were serving different mighty ones. Now, this is the process right here when the names began to be blotted out. The names where they began to start taking these names. This is the process where the names of Yahuwah and Yahusha and the true names of the prophets and everything started. It started being getting blotted out. Now, notice, we know Daniel's three friends by what? Meshach, Abednego, but that wasn't their true names. If you read right here, it said, verse 6, it said Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Now, I'm not sure if it said Yahoo on the end, but it has the Yah. We know that Yah is, the first two letters, Yod-Heh, of Yahuwah's name. Okay. But what happens right here? But verse 7, it says, and the chief of the Enochs gave them names. The chief of the eunuchs gave them names. So right there, when they came into Babylonian captivity with the language of the Chaldeans, which was like Aramaic, they began to change their names and began to blot out Yahuwah. They wanted to blot out Yahuwah, the nations. Okay, so what happens is, look, it says, and he called Daniel Belteshazzar, and Hananiah, Shadrach, and Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. So you see it right there. Right there, the chief of the Enoch, who was in the land of Chaldean, in the land of Babylon, they began to change their names right there. They started blotting out the name. They took the name Yah out right there. They took the name Yah out right there. Verse 7. So when we start, proclaiming the Besor, I'm going to, show people, go back to the point where they began to take the name out right there. When they went to Babylon in captivity, they changed Daniel's name, because Daniel, Daniel meant, had the L on there. Hananiah had the Yah on there, and they changed it to Shadrach, and then they changed Mishael, which had the L on there, which is the, mighty one for the father, name for the father in Hebrew. They changed it to Meshach. So this is the process where it started. This is the button where it started. Now, this is going to get interesting. You've got to get your notes right here, yo. Okay. They in the Babylonian captivity. This is like a movie, man. They in Babylonian captivity, 605 B.C. They were in Babylonian captivity. They began to change the names. Nebuchadnezzar, sovereign of Babel, has taken over. Okay. Now, they began to change his names right there. Okay. We're going to skip through some verses right here. We're going to skip through some verses. Go to Jeremiah 27:19, because this is interesting. Like we're gonna have a guest on here later, Yohanan, who telling us some information. But I mean, this thing is powerful, man. Like, this is when they began to change the name. This is when it all started. This is where the scripture said that they took and they conspired. You know what I'm saying? They conspired against his people. So you look at Yirmiyahu. You look at Yirmiyahu 27. I'm gonna be flipping through quick, so you might wanna, you know, you might wanna just hold tight. But Yirmiyahu 29:17. This is not the one I mean 27:19. Look, this is one of the reasons why they went into Babylon. Look, 27:19, he says, "For they did not heed my words, declares Yahuwah, and I sent them by my servants, the prophets, rising up early, sending them, and yet they did not listen." So even through Jeremiah, the prophecies was coming. So they went into Babylon. Prophecies was coming. Okay, and he told them they would serve Babylon. Okay, now 586 BC. Jerusalem is destroyed, and the rest is taken to captivity. So we in the land of captivity where you have Daniel. Okay, so the names begin to change. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Okay, go back to the book of Daniel. Now, what happened in Babylon? This is what started to happen in Babylon. They already were changing their names. They already began changing their names. Okay. Now, a lot of scholars began to say that what happened is synagogues began to be built. In the land of Babylon, synagogues were being built, and a lot of things were, they needed people to teach. So being around this evil sect, I mean, the evil people, you had this things going on. So what you had, you have a group of people rising up. Now, we're going to read some of Daniel right here. Daniel 1, verse 20. It says, "And any word of the wisdom and understanding about with the sovereign servant, he found them in the 10 times better than all of the magicians, astrologers, and all of his reign." So out of those four people, Daniel, we're going to call them by their real names, Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah, who were, you know, known as Meshach, you know, and Abednego, and Shadrach. Out of them four, they had more wisdom than all the magicians and the astrologers and all his reign, the Magi. Now, who were these magicians and astrologers? Who are these magicians and astrologers? Now, this is where it gets interesting. I'm going to read some excerpts from this article I got about Mystery Babylon. Okay. Now, what you had happen is, when they started building these synagogues, according to some information, you know, from the Yahoo Deem Encyclopedia and different things like that, the Kabbalah, the Yahoo Deem Kabbalah, which was hidden wisdom of Hebrew rabbis derived from older secret doctrines concerning divine things, which were combined into a theology after the time of captivity of the Yahudim in Babylon. Okay, so look, it says this idea of creative powers and letters was Kabbalism. The belief of magic powers of the letters of the transliteragram and other names of deities seem to have originated in the Chaldean. Now, remember, Babylon was the land of Chaldean. Okay, so basically, when the Yahudim began to get into exile when Nebuchadnezzar took them there, they began to learn the way of the nation. Okay, but also rabbis. That's when the rabbis of the Yahudim, we're not talking about other nations, we're talking about Yahudim, began to rise up teaching in these synagogues. They started making the synagogue. They started teaching in these synagogues. Now, this sect that rose among the Yahudim, the 12 tribes, they believe that, number one, that I read an excerpt. They believe Exodus 21, where it says that when Moshe was on the Mount Sinai and he got the 10 words from Yahuwah, they believe also that the Mishnah and another thing, basically they believe that the Babylonian Talmud and legends and everything was also given to Moshe in order to speak to the people, which is the oral law. Now you're gonna understand, like, we're gonna read later about what they believe. So they believe this is Yahudim now. So in Babylonian captivity, these rabbis who rose among the 12 tribes believe that the old Torah was given on Mount Sinai with Moshe giving this is their belief. And they also believe in the secret powers of, you know, in using the names of the transliterograms, which they got that from the Chaldeans. So when they came to Babylon in captivity, they began to mix with these. Okay, now. Okay, look. This whole dualistic system of good and evil powers basically ultimately came from the old Chaldeans. Now, this gets interesting because the religion of the Chaldeans, guess where they got their religion from? So when they came to Babylon, the religion of Babylon was the Chaldean religion. But guess who the Chaldeans got their religion from? They got it from the Anunnaki. They got it from the Anunnaki, which is, you go back further now, because the Chaldean goes back way further. So if it's connected to the Anunnaki, who were fallen messengers, you understand that the process of events is fallen messengers' religion, fallen messengers' beliefs, and the religion that they were teaching within ancient Babylon, the Chaldean, who, when Yisrael went to captivity, they intermixed with the fallen religion of the Anunnaki, was fallen, and began to create this thing, which they started writing commentaries on the scriptures of the Tanakh, started putting this mysticism, the Kabbalah, inside these scriptures, so the Chaldean religious tradition was embraced by the Yahudim during their captivity in Babylon and was delivered to subsequent generations by word of mouth. Okay, so I'm going to read another quote. It says, the Kabbalah, the unwritten or oral tradition. The Kabbalist is a student of secret science. It says, one who interprets hidden meaning of the scriptures with help of symbolic Kabbalah. So this is going to make more sense. So when the Yahudim were in there, they started embracing this religion of the Chaldeans, which was the religion of the Anunnaki, which was the religion of the fallen, which basically it came from Satan. So they embraced this. Started using the scriptures. And so now what you have is, in the synagogues, you have rabbis who are teaching Kabbalism, just like it said in Daniel right here, verse 20, that they have magicians and astrologers. These magicians and astrologers, some of them were Yahudim. Because come on, think about it. Think about it now. If there was a remnant, If Nebuchadnezzar came and took all these people into Babylon who were Yahudim and were the 12 tribes of Yisrael, I'm sure it was more than four recorded, but how only four? Why does it say only in Daniel? It says only four of them people were wise enough to understand what was going on. Because a lot of people that got took into Babylon clung to the Chaldean religion. In the remnant, you had people like Daniel and his three friends. When they got thrown in the furnace, you know about that. So that's what happened right there. So you had, when they went to Babylon, they clung to that religion. They already started changing their names right there, verse 6 and 7. They started changing their names, taking the Yad. Now this gets more, the rabbit hole goes more deeper. Now, the Yahudim began to use the Kabbalah. Okay, they began to use this Kabbalah, this mysticism doctrine, this secret society. So it was a secret society. It was actually a secret society within the Yahudim. So basically, when you look at the modern-day Judaism, of the Jews, the Ashkenazi Jews, what you're actually looking at is you're looking at our ancient forefathers and their apostasy, what they were doing. So basically, as the Ashkenazi Jews tried to steal our religion, they actually pronounced a curse upon themselves. That's what they did. So it's like confusing. It's like, that's why the Jews said, I know them who say they are Yahudim, but lie, but are the synagogue of Satan. But where did that synagogue of Satan come from? That synagogue of Satan goes all the way back to Babylon and Chaldean. When these rabbis began to rise up, they began to teach in the synagogue. They began to put their own interpretations on the scriptures. So all these things was way before Yahushua even touched the earth. So they began to practice this Kabbalism. So this was going on in the book of Daniel right here. This is what was going on in the book of Daniel. The name began to start changing. This is when they started using the name of the Father for mysticism, for doing all kind of wickedness, for using the name. That's when the name Yahweh. They were switching the name and all these symbolic kind of mysticism use. Okay, now what you got to understand, the Pharisees. Now, the word Pharisee means Tanara. It says, which means teacher of the law. They were scribes. These rabbis were identified with some scholars scholars that really tell the truth, identified as the first Kabbalists. Now, these were Hebrew scholars who were in the land of Babylon, who came into captivity from Nebuchadnezzar. But their religion mixed in. So it's basically like, number one, Yahuwah was prophesying through the prophets, through Jeremiah, telling them to repent and turn from their evil ways. They didn't. So the guy went into Babylon. So in the Babylon, they went into even further wickedness than they were in before. So these Hebrew rabbis who began to do the mysticism, okay, were ranked and they evolved into the sect of the Pharisees. So according to the, I'm reading this quote, according to the occult theism by Edith Star Miller, it says the creators of the Kabbalah were Pharisees who had formed their sect in Babylon during the captivity and a function as a secret society in the Yahudim. The secret doctrine of Babylon remained oral tradition of the Pharisees until they committed it to written form. So we always talk about ancient Rome and ancient Babylon coming from Rome, but when in reality, ancient Babylon, the mystery Babylon, comes from the Yahudim who were in Babylon in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, who began to rise up teaching in these synagogues. So they were putting their interpretations, they part of putting their old law on the interpretations of the scripture. So when Yahushua gets here, they're still doing this. They're still in the synagogues with their Babylonian Talmud laws. And we're going to read these Babylonian Talmud laws in a minute. So in Babylon, they was doing this. Okay, now I'm going to read some more excerpts right here. It says, in this book, Nicholas II, explains that the Chaldean science acquired by many Yahudim priests during captivity of Babylon gave birth to the sect of the Pharisees, whose name appears in the set-apart scriptures writings of historians after the captivity, 605 B.C. Okay? Now, we just established that their whole religion was from the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans was from the fallen. Okay? So, now, the Pharisees then judged it wiser to capture coincidence. You know, just like Josephus and some of the historians, they bear witness of what was going on at that time. Now, these Pharisees were hypocrites. Yahushua spent the whole chapter 23 about them. You will understand why after this, why Yahushua vehemently hated their doctrine, because he knew who they were. The modern day Pharisees who got their religion from the Chaldeans were just like the Freemasons. You know, the Zionists. So like I said, when you look at the Ashkenazi Jews, what you're looking at is you're looking at the Yahudim who were actually in Babylon and took on the religion of the Chaldeans. Because yeah, it has a, you can understand why it has a remnant of the truth. Why does it look like the Jews kind of know the truth, but yet they add, because their basis of their belief is the Babylonian Talmud. And that spirit goes all the way back to Nebuchadnezzar when they was in ancient Babylon. So we know the book of Daniel. Let's go through the let's kind of summarize the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, they changed the names. They changed the names, take Yah out of the names. That's when the process begins. Now remember I said that in the book, the Chaldean language was like an Aramaic. So what you had happen is when these scholars and these rabbis started lifting themselves up and they became that sect of the Pharisees, what you had happen is when you look in the book of Ezra, I believe like almost 28 times, when you go back and you look at Numbers, the first name, it said they called Husha. You look at Numbers 13:16. It said they called Husha Yahusha. It was four letters. It was Hey, Ur, Shin, Ayin. And later it would be called Yahusha. We know that the name Yahusha is seen 216 times in the Tanakh. Now, why is it when the same name, that five letters, Yod, Hey, Ur, Shin, Ayin, when you go to Tanakh, when you go to a Dead Sea Scroll, why is it that when you get to the books like Ezra, Nehemiah, Chronicles, why when you get to those books, that name is now changed into the name which they pronounce Yeshua? Why is that? It's because when they went to Babylon, when these Pharisaical Hebrew so-called scholars began to rise up, they began to get influenced by the Chaldean language, Aramaic language, and they started changing the name. The scribes started putting that Aramaic on it, and that's when it changed into Yeshua. So the name pre Babylonian captivity was always seen with five letters, Yod, Hey, Ur, Shin, Ayin. When they went to Babylonian captivity, Yahudim scholars, they began to teach in the synagogue because they were the very ones, these scribes, these Pharisees were the very ones recording the scriptures. These were the very ones. How do you think the scriptures are written in B.C. by Prophet Jeremiah and still exist today? Because the Yahudim, not the Jews, I'm not talking about modern-day Jews, I'm talking about the real Hebrews who went into captivity with Nebuchadnezzar, they were recording this. And so as they began to record this, their recording became influenced by the Aramaic. So when it transitioned to Yeshua. So you had these ultra Pharisees. So you had to understand who these Pharisees were that Yahusha was going against. Number one, these Pharisees were, just like we read in Daniel, these were the magicians, the astrologers, and the magi of that time. Look, Daniel chapter 2, verse 2, it says, and the sovereign gave orders to call all the magicians, the astrologers, and the practitioners of a witchcraft. It says, and the kadosh to declare the sovereign his dream, and they came before the sovereign. Now, you remember this, they couldn't even, these astrologers, these were Yahudim. But you got to understand, it was not just, the whole captivity was like Israel went into captivity for 70 years. They couldn't understand it. But why could Daniel and his three friends understand it? Because they had the Ruach HaKodesh inside them, and they could understand that they were connected. They had not got defiled by just going to Babylon like the rest of the Yahudim had. So the rest of the Yahudim, they got defiled, and they became the magicians. What is the Kabbalah? The Kabbalah is mysticism, magic. That's what the Kabbalah is. Now, what you got to understand is, this is what they believe. So when Yahusha said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, okay, what you got to understand is when he walked the earth, so when Babylonian captivity happened, the Yahudim would later go back, they would later go back to Jerusalem by Cyrus II. They would later go back. They would later go back. But you got to understand, when they went back, what came with them? That false religion that they had, that Kabbalism, that mysticism, the Pharisee sect had already risen up in Babylon, and they had already compiled these oral laws, these traditions. And so when they entered back into 586 BC and they came back to Jerusalem and they were there, what you had that going back into the synagogues. Even Ezekiel the prophet talks about it. Ezekiel the prophet talks about these elders. These elders. These weren't other people. These were elders. These were elders of Yahuwah. Talk about it. Let's look at it. Matter of fact, let's look at it. Let's go to Ezekiel. These were elders. These were elders. These were elders of Yahuwah. Look, Ezekiel chapter 8. Is it Ezekiel chapter 8? Yeah, look. Go to Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8, and it says, Ezekiel chapter 8. Now, these were elders. These were elders. It's Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 12, and he said to me, son of man, have you seen the elders of the house of Yisrael are doing in the dark? Why are they doing in the dark? Why are they doing in the dark? Because what you got to understand, why they were doing in the dark, because these ultra-Pharisaical Hebrews who were rose up in the time of Babylonian captivity, they were doing secrets in the dark. They were doing magic. They were practicing magic and all these things in the dark. So this prophecy right here of Ezekiel is prophesying against that. Son of man, do you see what they're doing in the dark? This secret society within my nation is doing in the dark? Look, he says, son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Yisrael are doing in the dark, each one in the room of his idols? For they say, Yahuwah does not see us. Yahuwah has forsaken the land. And he said to me, you shall still see greater abominations that they are doing. So when they came back after 586 BC and they came back, you got to understand, when they were in Jerusalem, they were in a synagogue. The Babylonian Talmud was very evident and circulating right then in the temple. So the commentary, everything that they were doing was already circulating. So these Pharisees that rose up in Babylonian captivity are the modern day Freemasons. You know, they were the modern day Freemasons, the practitioners of the Kabbalah, the witchcraft, the magicians who were even in Daniel's day. So you understand that. So now this is where it gets deeper, though. This is where it gets deeper. It goes even deeper. The leaven of the Pharisees. So this is what rose up. This was the mind of thought of the Yahudim who the Torah of Yahuwah was given to, who they went into Babylon captivity. This is the mind of thought that was going on right then. I'm going to read some of these laws from the Babylonian Talmud that came about in captivity in the time of Daniel. It says the Goyim are not humans, they are beasts. It says if you eat with some of these evolved into what they are today, but some of these laws, it says if you eat with the Goyim, it is the same as eating with a dog. This is from Tashafa Gimah 94. Even the best of Goyim shall all be killed. Sexual intercourse between Goyim is like intercourse with animals. Sanhedrin 74b. Now, what you got to understand, how wicked is that? Do you understand that? You got to understand that the most wickedness came from Yahuwah's own people. So do you understand when Yahusha got there, these Yahudim, they were saying, remember what they said, we are the children of Abraham? And he agreed a little bit with him. He said, yes, y'all are the children of Abraham, but y'all really not. Because if y'all did the works of Abraham, y'all would believe in me. This was Yahuwah's own people. I'm not talking about some foreign nation. I'm talking about now you understand the greatness of the wickedness of Yisrael, is that his own people was practicing this in, these are the laws that they came up with. This is what they really believe. This is the own wickedness. So you understand why Daniel was just crying, because he was crying out and asking Yahuwah, like, and was repenting for our sins. Why? Because he's seen all these people in ancient Babylon, who had been from Nebuchadnezzar. He has taken to Babylon from by Nebuchadnezzar. He has seen all his Yahudim clinging to the Chaldeans, clinging to this mysticism and his magicians and his Kabbalah and these things, and started rising up against Yahuwah. He's seen it. He was crying out. I mean, look at these laws. Look at these laws. Because we always want to point the finger at the Ashkenazi Jews. And yes, they have the modern spirit of that spirit that was in ancient Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar of our people. So basically, it's still in our heritage. They actually curse themselves. So because the truth of the matter of fact is until you enter into covenant with Yahuwah anyway through Yahushua HaMashiach, you will be cursed. But let's keep it moving. It says, look, it says the verses of the Talmud, look, it says when it comes to Gentiles in peace, it says one of them accordingly instance removed the ladder after the falling into a crevice. Okay? Some of the other verses. Now remember, the Chaldean language was the Aramaic. So they started using words like Yashu. Okay? The word Yash, you know, they believe Yashu, which is equivalent for JC or Jesus, is it said is in hell being burnt in hot instruments, which is from the Greek 57a. Yashu was an acronym of a Yahudim curse. So what you got to understand is when they were into Babylon, they had already began to set it up against Yahusha. I'm talking about 500-something years before Yahusha was even born. They were beginning to go against his Torah and begin to set it up, his own people. Yeshu is an acronym for the Yahudi parable. May his name and memory be blotted out. So ancient Babylon, they started, look, what happened was the Chaldeans began to blot the name out, because why? We just read in Daniel 1 where they changed the name of Hananiah to, you know, to these other names, to these Babylonian deity names. They began to blot out the name of Yahuwah right then. So what happened is, since the Yahudim embraced the Chaldean religion, they began to blot out the name. So they came up with Yashu, make his name and be blotted out. So they did the same thing the Chaldeans did, which they got their religion from, basically the fall of the Anunnaki. It says Yashu was a sexual immorality and not, it says, and worshipped a brick. Yashu was cut off from his Yahudim people for his wickedness and refused to repent. Sotah 47a. Miriam was a hairdresser and had sex with many men. Sabbath 104b. Hebrew edition only. She was an descendant. She was, says she, who was an descendant of princes and governors. Yahusha's mother was a harlot of carpenters. Sanhedrin 106a. This was a school of thought by Yahudim. Look, I'm gonna read a little more. It says the teaching of the Talmud stands above all other laws, and they are more important than the laws of Moshe. This is some commentary from the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud. They actually believe. Shout out to my brother Yashman out there. Remember we talked about, they believe that their authority was over. Their authority. I'm talking about all the way back in Babylon, ancient Babylon, because when they began to rise up teaching the synagogue, these Pharisees believed that their authority was higher than the prophets. They believed their authority was higher than the prophets. They believed, the rabbis believed their authority was higher than the prophets. Okay, so look. We're going to rewind a little back. So the sect that formed, once again, so we're able to explain this to people, the sect that formed. So originally, it said that the Chaldean, the Enoch, the Enoch, Daniel 1, they began to blot out the name of Yah in Babylon captivity. So Yahudim took their way. Because remember Yahuwah used to say, hey, don't learn the way of the nations. That's even Jeremiah said that. He said, hey, don't learn the way of the heathen. And what did they do? They did the opposite. They learned the way of the heathen. Because the heathen started blotting out his name. They started blaspheming his name. So what did Yahudim do? They started blotting out his name. So after that, why in the book of Ezra, which he was a scribe, he was a set apart scribe, and was renewing the Torah of Moshe and the commandments. But you got to remember, is that even though a book may be written by a prophet, these scribes later had it. These wicked scribes later had it. What did it say? What did the scripture say? It said the pen of the scribes worketh vain. Matter of fact, we gotta find that verse. The pen of the scribes. So these scribes who went ancient Babylon worketh vain. Like they started teaching lies. The pen of the scribes. So in the book of Nehemiah and Chronicles, you have the name Yeshu being perpetrated, which came from the Chaldeans. Now, you see the transition fold. So it was Yahusha. In the Tanakh, it was Yahusha. Five letters, Yohei, Ushin, Ayin. When you get to Babylonian captivity, that spirit, the Pharisees were the ones, the Pharisees, Yahuwah's own people, nobody else. It wasn't King James, it wasn't William Tisdale, it wasn't Latin Vulgate. The starters who blotted out his name was his own people. Like, do you understand that? The people who blotted out Yahuwah's name was his own people, because they had the authority. They had the authority not to do that. They had authority not to do that. They didn't have to begin to start, you know, changing it to Yashu, to start using Yashu. They could have kept the name. And some of the old scriptures, you even see them, even when they was writing in Greek, they were trying to preserve the name of Yahuwah and writing in Paleo. So these scribes who Yahusha went against his own people, and it makes sense. But why? Because he came unto his own people, and his people received them not. Why? Because they had already blotted out his name. They had already went on their own authority and tried to go against him. So that's the revelation. It's like, hey, that's why you understand that these prophets was crying and they were getting on their faces and fasting with sackcloth and ashes. Because his own people who were given the Torah, I mean, committed such wickedness. Do you understand the magnitude of this wickedness? So I'm gonna read some excerpts of the name. So we're taking you from history because even if we go back to Numbers, Yahusha. Now even when Yahusha ben Nun, who was the protege of Moshe. He was protege of Moshe. He was with Caleb, and they went to go spy out the land. Now, Yahusha ben Nun, every time in the Tanakh, the books of Moshe, why is his name written Yohei Ushin Ayin, Yahusha? Every time. It says Yahusha was, in Numbers 13:16, Yahusha was called Yahusha. All these times, you see this name. All these times, you see this name. 216 times you see his name. Okay, now, Yahusha ben Nun. Okay, now, when we get into the books that were penned by the scribes who were in Babylonian captivity, you have the Yashu, the Yeshua form coming to play. Why? Because they clung to the apostasy of the Chaldeans. So that's why the name started changing, right there. 28 sometimes. Matter of fact, we have some information we have some information right here that really breaks it down and shows you the time that it was coming about. So like I said, the main books was Ezra. And the people that were born in Babylonian captivity, you have you have Daniel, bear witness, you have Ezra, Nehemiah, and also Esther. But we know that the name Yahushua was never really seen in the book of Esther. You know what I'm saying? So you have that. When you get to this point right here, this is where it all starts. This is where Mystery Babylon really starts. Because after you come out of here, and they went back to Jerusalem, 586 B.C., and they began to teach in the synagogue. So now you understand when Yahushua stood in that synagogue and he picked up that Yeshayahu scroll, and he said Yahuwah, and he read, so what did he read? Psalms, I believe he read, Yeshayahu, let's find it. He read Yeshayahu, I believe 61, and he said Yahuwah. And he said, Yahuwah, who these scribes who descended from Babylon, who were Yahudim, but had already began to blot out the name, who began to make this thing up with using the mysticism of the Father's name, who began to say, hey, you can't say the name, now because it's so divine and all this. No, it wasn't the name. It wasn't because they believed the name was so divine you couldn't say it. That wasn't it. It was because they practiced it. They practiced it for witchcraft, and they hated the true name of Yahuwah because they knew the apostasy of their deeds. They knew the wickedness of their deeds. So now this is catching you up to speed. So they leave Babylon. They leave Babylon. Hold on. Before we get to that, we're going to pause, and we're going to go to Ezekiel 23 and 14. Now, this is a prophecy right here. We're going to get into a little more scriptures right here. Now, Ezekiel 23 and 14. Now, Ezekiel just prophesied about remember, Yahuwah said, look, Ezekiel, look what they're doing in the dark. These were the Pharisees who created this Kabbalah with the Talmud. Look what they're doing in the dark. Look what they're doing in the dark. And right here, so this is a prophecy about Ezekiel right here of what happened in Babylon. This is what happened in Babylon right here. Ezekiel 23 and 14. It says, But she increased her horns, and she looked at men carved on the wall, images of the Kasdah inscribed in red. Now you see that word Kasdim? You see that word Kasdim? I believe the land that was in. Now, I'm going to show you that this is not a coincidence. Remember we just told what the apostles they do. They did. Now, if you go and you turn to, remember when we read Daniel, if you go to Daniel 1 and 4, it says, young men in who were blemished but looking good, Daniel 1 and 4, having insight in all wisdom, having knowledge and understanding, capable to understand the sovereign's place and to teach them the writing and the speech of the Kasdim. You see that word Kasdim? So Daniel and his three friends kept themselves in there. They had all his wisdom, but they kept themselves blameless. Unlike the rest of the Yahudim, who took on the language of the Kasdim and began to worship the image, just like what happened in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 23:14 says the Kasdim inscribed in red, girded with the belts around their loins, flowing turbans on their heads, and all looking like officers, like the sons of Babel of Kasdim in their birth. As soon as their eyes saw them, she lusted after them and sent her messengers to Kasdim. This is Ezekiel 23:17. And the sons of Babel came to her into the bed of carnal love, and they defiled her with their horns. And she was defiled by them, and her being turned from in disgust. And she uncovered her horns and uncovered her nakedness, then turned my being in her in disgust, as my being turned from her sister in disgust. And she increased her horns, remembered the days of her youth, when she whored in the land of Mizraim. And she lusted after her lovers, whose flesh is like the flesh of donkeys, and whose emissions is like the emissions of horses. And it says, thus you long for the wickedness of the youth, when the Mizraim screens the nipples because the breasts of the young. So what you got here is, Yahuwah was saying that, hey, when they went to Babylon in captivity, they began to lust after the Chaldean religion, their language, their everything. They began to lust. So it makes sense that right then they began to start taking Yahusha out. They started taking Yahusha out right then. Because the Chaldeans was already taking, they showed them the way to take the name out. So the Yahudim followed. They started taking the name out. So you have in the book of Ezra and all these, and Ezra and Nehemiah and the Chronicles, you have what? You have the name Yeshua, which was coincidentally a Yahudim parable, may his name be blotted out. So you see how it started going, right? You see how it started going. Okay. So once again, so you had the practices of magic. So this religion of the secret, carefully restricted membership was tightly bound, imposing the members of the religion of the secret. The Pharisees pursued relentlessly to double their aim, which was to assure political power by the possessions of great political offices. It says the influence of tremendous reinstitution of the Yahudim nation and the conquerors of the Sanhedrin. So their mission, this secret society mission within within the nation of Yisrael, was to become politically powerful and to become. So they began to teach these political powerful people who were Yahudim from Babylonian captivity, who were in secret, who were doing these things in secret, just like Ezekiel, just like Yahuwah told Ezekiel. He said, look what they're doing in the dark. He said, these are my elders. These are my people. These are the elders, and they practicing this witchcraft in the dark, leading my people astray, and then trying to use the scriptures. So you understand, so you get to understand the condition when Yahushua arrived. Okay? So they wanted to mattify the concept of the people in the direction of their secret doctrine. Do you understand? One of their goals was to modify the gradual conception of the people into the direction of the secret doctrine. So that's why the world believes now that, hey, you can't see. That's why people hate when you say the name Yahuwah. Why? Because it came originally from the Yahudim who hate the name Yahuwah, so they began to take it out. They began to blot it out. They began to blot the name Yahusha out in Babylonian captivity. This is mystery. This is the real mystery Babylon. This is the real mystery of Babylon, because yeah, we talk about Roman Catholic, but the Roman Catholic religion stems from all lies basically stem from the truth. The truth existed first, and then lies were conceived. It said the second of these aims is the method to obtain, exposing the protocols of the wise men of Zion. Do you understand that the second of their aims was to the method to obtaining is exposing the so-called wise men. Okay, now the so-called, think about it. In Daniel's day, he was the wisest, so was his three friends. Okay, now, what happened in the book of Daniel? Remember he was praying, and they conspired against him, and they came to Babylon. Oh, he won't bow to the image. They conspired against him. They conspired to kill him. Told Nebuchadnezzar. That's the same thing that's going to happen in the end days, is that the people who have wisdom and understanding, why? Because they have the Ruach HaKodesh. You have a lot of people who may look like they're in the truth. That's the worst. You're going to have a lot of people who look like they're in the truth. But guess what? They on that mysticism. They on that same thing as Mystery Babylon. Okay? So we're going to move on because we're going to have, I mean, this is not a one-day lesson, one-day thing, but we're going to keep it moving. So these Kabbalah, this mysticism, this magic sect came from ancient Babylon. I know I keep saying that, but we gotta establish that. Okay, now, so Yahusha gets here. Now, when Yahusha gets here, they have already subsequently began to add their oral tradition unto the Torah, in which they believe. Because look, that, what kind of thought is that? They believe that this oral tradition of these wicked laws that I just read out, the leaven of the Pharisees, that it was given. Do you think Yahuwah told them on Mount Sinai? Let's go back and read this. Do you think Yahuwah told the Yahudim on Mount Sinai that even the best goyim should be killed? That goes directly against thou shalt not kill. Do you think that he gave that law? He gave that law on Mount Sinai? No, he didn't. Look, this one woman said, this is a Gentile girl who is 3 years old can be violated. This is from the Talmud. This is from ancient Babylon. This is one of them. It says a Jew may do to a non-Jew what he can do. He may treat her as he treats a piece of meat. A Yahudi who mistreats. So now you understand the wickedness of our people. Not blaming the finger on anybody else, but the wickedness of our people, what rose up in Babylon, that spirit. So when they came here, this is what Yahushua was going against. These people who believe, look, a Yahudi can commit rape, cheat, perjure himself, but he must take care of that which he found. So this was the idea of thought that was circulating. This was the idea of thought. So this is what Yahushua was going against. This is the real secret doctrine which he was going against. That this is what they really do. I mean, the list goes on. I have a whole list of things that they believe. I mean, a whole list that goes up to like 100 something. You know what I'm saying? The whole Talmud. So this is what Yahushua was going against. So now, when he got there, so when Yahushua steps on the scene, you understand the wickedness of what's going on. They have added laws to the Torah. Their commentaries, they have a whole the Mishnah and all that has been already circulating. They have already blotted out his name. They have already blotted out his father's name. His own people has already blotted out his father's name. They are practicing magic in the dark. They are in the synagogue teaching his wickedness, trying to lead his people astray. That's why he talked about. That's why Yahuwah is so adamantly about the priest. Why? We're gonna show you. Look, go to Malachi. Look, so that's why you understand that these priests that Yahuwah had beef against. Do you understand why he was so adamantly angry? Why he said he was going to destroy them off the face of the earth? Because you're talking about his own people who he gave the Torah, who gave him his name. He gave them his name, and now they're using it for magic. Now they're trying to use his name for magic. They're trying to secretly do stuff in the dark, leading people astray into wickedness. These were the Pharisees. These were Hebrews who rose in ancient Babylon, who blotted out the name. These are the people who blotted out the name, not King James. So what happens is the ball began to set in motion. So that's the pinpoint. But when the ball starts setting in motion, what happens is everybody else just falls in line. So look, when you read Malachi 1:6, he says, "And a son esteemed his father, a servant his master. And if I'm your father, where is my esteem? And if I'm your master, where is my fear? Said Yahuwah of hosts to you, priests who despise my name. But you ask, in what ways have we despised your name? You are presenting defiled food on my slaughtering place. But you ask, in what ways have we defiled you? It says, because you say, the table of Yahuwah is detestable." So they were presenting defiled food, defiled doctrine. They was presenting them before his table. They would come in the synagogues, and they would teach this defiled doctrine of their thoughts, their interpretations of the scripture, their magic. There are all these things that they have got from Babylonian captivity. They were teaching these things in the days of Yahushua. So you understand why Yahushua comes in there and flips over the whole table, and because it was madness. You understand the anger and how hot he was against these Pharisees. And we're going to later read his whole speech against them, his own people, his own speech against them, because they had been given the covenant and they had denied the Father, and they had did all this wickedness. Look, he said, look, Malachi 1:14, he says, but cursed be the deceiver who has a male flock and makes a vow, but is slaughtering to you what is blemished. For I am the great sovereign, said Yahuwah of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. So this is what you had going on. This is what you got going on. Look, he says, if you do not fear, Malachi 2:1, look, he says, and now, O priest, this is the command for you. He's talking to the priest. Yahuwah is talking to the priest of Yisrael. That's what he's talking to. He's talking to the ones, the lineage, the spirit that came out of ancient Babylon. This is who we're talking to, because 500 years when they came back to Jerusalem around 586 BC, and they were teaching in these synagogues all the way up until Yahushua got there. He's talking to his priest. O priest, this is the command for you. If you do not fear, if you do not hear, if you do not take heart to give esteem to my name, said Yahuwah of hosts, I shall send a curse upon you, and I shall curse your blessings. Indeed, I have cursed them because you do not have take heed. So think about it. Let's go all the way back to Daniel's day. The Chaldeans did not esteem Yahuwah's name. Why? Because they would never, you would never change the name. Why would you change the name of with the name Yahuwah in it? Why would you change the name Yah in it? Why would you change it? If they esteemed it, if they feared it, if they feared the name of Yah, they wouldn't have changed it. So the ancient forefathers, they took heed of what the Chaldeans were doing, of the Babylonians were doing. So they said, hey, we're gonna despise his name too. So that's what happened. This is the beginning. This is the origin of what you have today. So you'll see how it unfolds. So next you have, we're gonna talk about history a little bit. So next you have the period when Yahushua gets here. We're gonna read a little bit about. Now you understand why Yahushua hated that doctrine so much. Because all these laws that they had, this school of thought about, you know, they'd be able to kill people and all these things, this is the school of thought. He made it even harder for them. He said, hey, you have heard it say not murder. Because he knew their Babylon and Talmud. He knew what they saying. He knew their school of thought. He said, you have heard it not murder, but I say if you angry with a brother. So look, this is what Yahushua said against these Pharisees. The Pharisees who, once again, yes, were Hebrews. This is what he said. Matthew 23:1. It says, and Yahushua spoke to the crowds and to his taught ones, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on the seat of Moshe. Therefore, whatever now. This is also a mistranslation because it's supposed to say whatever he, meaning Moshe, whatever he who wrote the Torah, who therefore whatever he say to you guard and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. So Yahushua wasn't saying whatever they say. You telling me that Yahushua would tell you to believe and to do what these Kabbalists, these mysticism who practice magic with the Father's name, who practice wickedness in dark, just like he said in the prophet Ezekiel, to do what they say? I don't think so. This is also a mistranslation. He says, whatever he, being Moshe, say do, guard and do. but do not do according to their works. Their works, not their works, because they say, these Pharisees who say they, look, think about it. They say they keep the Torah, but yet in their Babylon Talmud, they say you can kill whoever you want to. Think about it. By their own Torah, they say you can do this, but yet they say you can kill. The leaven of the Pharisees. Okay, so look at this. We're gonna read this. We're gonna read this for a little bit. It says, for they are blind. They have bound heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them upon men's shoulders. But with the finger they do not wish to move. They do all works to have been seen by men. It says they make their tefillin wide, lengthening the zits on their garments. They love the best seats in the feast, the best seats in the congregation, and the greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men, rabbi, rabbi. Remember, where did the concept of rabbis begin? Ancient Babylon, Mystery Babylon, in Nebuchadnezzar day. Okay, look, it says, but you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher and the Messiah, and you are all brothers. So he was establishing what they had. He was going against their Babylonian spirit, because in the Babylonian, everybody was rising up. You know what I'm saying? But he was like, nah, y'all all brothers. It ain't supposed to be you go to a congregation and you have, you know, these people interpreting the scriptures and they standing up and nobody else can't talk. You know what I'm saying? Y'all all brothers. So that's why you have churches who have the ancient Babylonian spirit. You go in there and then, you know, it's not a discussion. Nobody can talk and nobody can say anything because they have the ancient Babylonian spirit and they're not all brothers. It says, and do not be called anyone your son on earth your father, for one is your father who is in the heavens. Neither be called leaders, for one is your leader, the Messiah. Because he knew their hearts. They wanted to be leaders. He says, whoever exalts himself shall be humble, and whoever humbles himself shall be. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He's talking to the very people who blotted out his name, who had blotted out his father's name. This is who he's talking to. Because you shut up the reins of the heavens before men, for you do not go in, nor do you allow those who would enter to go in. Why? Because these scribes were taking the Father's name out, taking the key of knowledge, shutting up the kingdom of heaven, so people can't even get to Yahuwah. They want to get to Yahuwah, they can't even get to Yahuwah because why? They taking his name out. They saying you can't say his name. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you eat up widows' houses, and for you make a show of long prayers, because you shall receive the greater judgment. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you go about in the land of the sea to make one convert, and when he is one, you make him a son of Gehenna, twofold in yourselves. But woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swells by the dwelling place, and then Yahusha goes on, and he talks about woe unto them. The things that they're doing. Look, this, and one of the things said, look, verse 35 says, and so that on you shall come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah. So within Yahuwah's own people, the seed of Satan came in, and these people infiltrated, they got it from the Chaldeans. But hey, you still listening to Poetic Energy Network Station? I'm Yahuwah Sada. We still on the way. Hey, we about to have a guest on the show real quick, and we're going to talk a little about the evolution to get to the name Jesus Christ. And we're going to refer to him. I'm referring to him as JC. And we want to have Yahuwah and I. Yo. If you on the line, Yahuwah and I.
Yeah, my brother.
What's going on, man?
Man, Shabbat Shalom, my brother.
Shabbat Shalom, man. We just catching up with, you know, we're talking about, we took it to the stage of, you know, what happened in Babylon captivity with the book of Ezra, how the Aramaic had it on there. Then they get to Yeshua. And then now they have blotted out the name before Yahushua gets there, some 500 years old, you know.
Right.
And they have already started the process. So now we want to kind of talk about kind of post-Yahushua, we want to kind of pick it up post-Yahushua, what is it called, the first Greek text? You can take it from there. The first Greek text, what is it?
Codex Sinaiticus or Codex Sinaiticus, I believe, is the first Greek text, if I'm not mistaken, that was using.
So in that text, is the name Yahushua appears in there, or how does that work?
Well, no, actually, the first church or the first Messianic church, when they wrote in Greek, they did not use the writings of JC. Actually, they used Noma Sakara, which means the sacred name. And what they would do is they would put iota, sigma, and put a line over it, which let you know that that name was divine, and that was the Son's name. And they would put, instead of putting the Messiah, they would put chi, which is an X, and then a sigma. So the word JC was not in the first century Bible. Never existed.
Okay.
It never existed. If people would go to Luke and the Good News, if they'll go to Luke chapter 23, and if they would read verses 36 through 38, and I'm going to quote it for them just in case they haven't read it, and actually give them kind of an idea of what's going on, the way to see the deception that's been going on over the years with how people kept the lie alive and haven't let the people know the truth. And let's expose this deception right now. I said Luke chapter 23, verse 36, and I'm going to read it for you right now. It says, and behold, hello. 23, okay, here it goes. It says, and the soldiers mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Yahudim, save thyself. And a subscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Yahudim. Now, I know in the King James Version, you see the word Jews there. But you see the actual language that was going on at that time, which was Greek. And if you would do me a favor, anybody who's listening, please take a look into the Greek alphabet, take a look into the Roman alphabet, and take a look into the Hebrew alphabet. And if you look in those three alphabets, there is no letter J there. And there's also no letter W. So the name JC did not exist during this time, nor did the name Yahweh exist during this time, because in each of these alphabets, there is no W and there is no J. So the name Jehovah didn't exist then as well. Okay? The evolution of the name, JC, it is actually a transliteration of a word, but it's not a transliteration of Yahusha. Actually, the name which you spoke of earlier was Yeshu, and Yeshu is spelled Y-E-S-H-U. The name Yeshu is being used today in China and in Germany for the name of the Son. Okay, if you transliterate that name Yeshu, the actual name is Jesu or Jesu. If you look in your dictionary, if you look in the Webster's Dictionary, if you look at the name J-E-S-U, it will tell you that this is the archaic way of saying the name of the Son. And it will tell you that the way you pronounce that name will be Yeshu. All the name, I'm going to say it, the name Jesus the actual S at the end of the name Jesus, it really doesn't mean nothing. It just means that it's a male. And that's how the Greeks would write it in a Greek form, to let you know that it was a male and not a female, to make it masculine. So the name is actually Jesu or Jisu, which is a transliteration of Yeshu. Yeshu means may his name and his memory be blotted out. You can go on a website called Hebrews for Christians, and it will give you the acronym. You can look at the acronym, Hebrew acronyms, and it will let you know that Yeshu means may his name be blotted out. You also can check out the Talmud, where it's written, and it lets you know that that's what that means. So every time somebody says the name JC, you know, out of ignorance, you're saying may his name and his memory be blotted out. And this is the blasphemy that is spoken of in the book of Revelations when it talks about the great whore, which is the Roman Catholic Church. And as you see, if you'll see the Seven Hill City, which that's what Rome is, the city, Vatican City, actually fulfills the descriptions that was written of in the book of Revelation. So if the Catholic Church is actually fitting perfectly these prophecies that were written in Revelation, then let's look at the names that the Roman Catholic Church used. You understand what I'm saying? So if they are the great whore, and that's the great whore who has names of blasphemy in their mouth, then the names that they are using are blasphemous names. And if anybody listening, I also want you to do me another favor. I would love for y'all to go to windmillsministries.org. And what this is it shows you Bibles in Europe that they have, vintage Bibles. I'm talking old Bibles in its original form from the 16th century even up to date. And when you go on windmillsministries.org, you can click on 16th and 19th century vintage Bibles. And they will let you get a look at the Bible, like the writings. It will let you know what the name of the son is, what they would call him. And the way that they would spell it would be I-E-S-U or I-E-S-U-S, which, like I said again, that name is Yeshu. And from, I would say, about 1638, the name of the son, they begin to actually evolve the name, and they would begin to try to spell it. You'll see in some places where they would have I-E-S-U. If you go to the 1638 version, they have the name I-E-S-U-S some places, and then they have the name J-E-S-U-S in certain places. So the name was beginning ready to evolve. But by the time of 1679, it was certain that there was, from then on, from 1679 up to this date, the Americans, us, the British, the land of America, begin to spell and use the name Jesus. But like I said, if you go to Germany, to this day, they call him Yeshu. If you go to China, in China, they call him Yeshu. So they still use that name, Yeshu, which means blotted out. And Jisu, or Jesus, and Yeshu, it's the same thing. Jesus is a transliteration, just like Tesu. You hear that? Yeshu, Tesu. And even by some people tell you, Jesus and Jesus is the same thing, and they're correct. They're both transliterations of the blasphemy.
Man.
And I'm sorry to say this, and I mean I'm not sorry, but it is the truth, and it's been mass tradition by Greek history to actually change names because either they didn't understand it or to make it fit their image. That's why in Revelation it says, here are those who have overcome the name of the beast in its image. You understand what I'm saying? Because that name, JC, it goes along with that straight-haired image that they have portrayed and depict to us. But by the Bible standpoint, or not the Bible, but by the scriptures or the writings, that the picture that they have given us, it doesn't match the description that the scriptures have given us.
Yeah, I wanted to, I said, man, that's powerful, man. I wanted to ask you something, too. I remember you told me about Remember you told me about that in the Codex Sinaiticus, which is like one of the oldest Greek manuscripts of the new, you know, with the new, comprised of the New Testament. Even in there, they don't even put the name of Yahusha in there. They don't even put it in. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, the Noma Sakara is what it's called, or the sacred name is what how they use the technique. What was happening was the Besorah, or the good news, was being spread out, you know what I'm saying, outside of Jerusalem, and Gentiles were receiving, receiving salvation. And what it was is they had trained somebody that when they saw this Noma Sakara, they were trained to properly speak the true name of the Messiah, which was Yahusha. They were trained that. They would declare that name to the Gentile congregation. You see what I'm saying? They never wrote no JC. It didn't exist. Never existed then.
No.
Now, it didn't come until maybe about the first time the name JC was used in a text was in the Latin Vulgate. If that was Jesu, or which would still be pronounced Jesu.
Yeah, and that's some. I'm like 1500 years later almost.
Yeah, I think the Latin Vulgate was written about 3rd or 4th century AD.
Okay. Third or fourth century. Okay. Yeah, I was thinking about the. I was thinking about the later, I must have been thinking about the Tisdale, but the Latin Vulgate is the first time they used that standard.
Yeah, they used the standard, and if I'm not mistaken, it's either I-E-S-U or J-E-S-U, but the J back then was still used as an I. So it's not even really a J, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And then, after that, like we were talking about how even when you take Chi Psi Sigma, the ancient Greek letters, and you look at that Chi, that Chi sound eventually evolved into like almost like that the G sound that you have.
Right.
Now. And then you have that.
Oh yes. It's like chi or G.